starts with, there are four things that puts a brain in a dysregulated state. And Ira, the brain's either regulated or it's dysregulated. I don't need to put, you know, we don't need to slap labels on there. It's an anxious brain. It's a depressed brain. It's a dysregulated brain. Genetics play a big role. Physical head trauma, the story of my son. I've been in ICU twice with brain injury. Emotional trauma, and I don't wish it on you, but if you're living life, you're going to experience some emotional trauma and stress. And after COVID-19, we have all met stress in a whole new way.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization Show, the home of Googleization Nation, where we talk with HR and business thought leaders about the crazy, never-normal shift going on all around us. Our goal is to bring you ways to reimagine tomorrow and explore the ever-changing convergence of people, business, and technology. Here is your host, Ira Wolf.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization Show. Thank you for being part of Googleization Nation. I'm Ira Wolf. If you think this is just another podcast, think again. This is the voice of the most important conversations on the future of work confronting business leaders and people today. Our goal is to bring you ways to reimagine tomorrow and explore the ever-changing convergence of business, technology, and people. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Avanti. Avanti is at the forefront of making everywhere work, work. Its innovative IT solutions help find, heal, and protect every device everywhere automatically, so employees can work better from anywhere. The ISS Summit, the Avanti Solution Summit, is coming up on April 9th through the 12th in Texas, right in our guest backyard. If you're interested in everywhere work, IT security, cybersecurity, please take a look at the Avanti Solution Summit. And you can learn more about that at geeksgeezersgooglization.com. as well as Avanti.com.
Avanti Solutions Summit 2024 is just around the corner. Join us in April to shape the future of work together with Avanti. Learn more about this exciting event and register on the Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization website. Use code SM Industry Partners.
In the past, we took our brains, our brain health, for granted. We were smart or we weren't. Some of us had normal functioning brains, while others did not. If we weren't good at something like math, but loved the arts and music, we assumed it was our right brain sending us stronger signals. If you were lucky enough to be left-brained, careers in business, medicine, engineering, and accounting, logic were your destiny. And once you hit the ripe old age of 50, it was pretty much all downhill from there. Well, thanks to breakthroughs in medicine, technology, and neuroscience, it turns out that none of that is really true. And that's why I'm so excited today that Lee Richardson, founder of Brain Performance Center and Brain Performance Institute, will be joining me today to talk about the ROI of brain health and why organizations must start investing in brain capital and putting it on their balance sheets. Lee's going to help us get the record straight. But before Lee joins us, it's time for the perfect labor storm. This is when I share some facts or trends that I believe you should know. According to Harvard Business Review's article, Neurodiversity as a Competitive Advantage, people identified as neurodivergent often have a unique ability for understanding complex mathematics, recognizing obscure patterns in data, and or memorizing intricate details. Moreover, they also possess an unmatched level of concentration and imagination. With as many as one out of five people being identified as being neurodivergent, it comes at a time when employers are struggling to find enough skilled workers with the smarts to compete in today's topsy-turvy world and have the ability to focus. Neurodivergent workers have those exact skills employers are seeking. And yet, the unemployment rate for neurodivergent individuals in the U.S. is as high as 30 to 40%. Compare that to just 10% for disabled and a U.S. national average that has been hovering well below 4% and currently at 3.7. Well, we've got a lot to talk about with Lee today. So who is Lee Richardson? I met Lee just a few months ago at the Wharton Neuroscience Summit in Philadelphia. Lee studied human behavior for over 30 years. Her initial focus was on organizational behavior, but she shifted to human behavior in 2003 after her son had a traumatic brain injury. Lee became board certified in neurofeedback in 2005, interning and working with a neurologist. She founded the Brain Performance Center in 2009, and utilizing that experience, her MBA and counseling degrees and board certifications, she offers state-of-the-art solutions for brain problems, working with individuals with anxiety, depression, ADHD, autism, traumatic brain injuries, and PTSD. She founded the Brain Performance Institute and in 2021. Let's get a big, warm welcome, Googleization welcome for Lee Richardson. Hey, welcome, Lee.
Thanks for having me, Ara.
Good to see you. Just a couple weeks ago, I was on your show.
I know.
Similar, how I'm approaching the new world, the neuroscience and future of work. So excited to have you here, for sure.
Well, we both like talking about the same things, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start out here. It's always fascinating to hear why and how our guests got interested in what they do, and also not only interested, but passionate about what you do, committing your life to it. So you've had a few personal experiences that shifted your journey. I mentioned in the intro that you shifted from organizational to human behavior. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was interesting, Ari, because in the second grade, I have twin boys. The second grade, one got hit by a car. The other one watched it. I wasn't sure who I was more worried about. And we went to the emergency room. He never lost consciousness. And we got through it. At that point in time, I owned my own human resource consulting business. And by the time he's in fifth grade, I come home from work one day and he's and Mom, sit down. I got to talk to you. Okay. And basically, he said, my brain is broke. Oh, honey, fifth grade's a really hard year. And he said, Mom, you're not listening. And I wasn't. So I did listen. And he had gotten on the internet, which was horrifying at that time. Those boys are 36 now. But he had gotten on the internet and he had read about ADHD. And he was convinced he had ADHD. I'd never heard of it. But I said, if this is important to you, I'll go to the school. I'll talk to your counselor. I did. And the counselor said, your son didn't have ADHD. Your son's never failed anything. Your son's never been a behavior problem. Your son's lazy. And I said, okay, but my son wants help. How can I help him? And she suggested that I put him on Ritalin. My response to that, and there's nothing wrong with a pharmaceutical product, if that's what you believe is your solution, wasn't for me. My response to that was, why would I give my kid speed when you just told me there's nothing wrong with him? So that's what started my search. And I made up my mind that I was going to find an answer. And it was a friend that was a chiropractor that about 6 months after I started looking, called me one day and she's like, I've got something you need to check out. And from there, it's just been technology has been amazing, what we can do, how we can do it, if we can just calm that brain down, if we can kick into that autonomic nervous system and get that parasympathetic and sympathetic in a state of balance, then we can quit riding that roller coaster, that fight, flight, or freeze, and we all ride it at some point.
I shared, Lee, in the Perfect Labor Storms segment that there's as many as one out of five people out of our population, and I assume that's worldwide, but especially in the U.S., that can be classified as neurodivergent or having some type of, I would say, abnormal brain health. But it's actually normal brain health when it's one out of five people are afflicted. Can you define neurodivergence? Because I know people talk about ADHD, and a lot of our listeners are probably familiar with that, either from personal experience or as employers or managers or parents or individuals. But neurodivergence covers a lot. There's a lot of disorders. And when you put them all in that one bucket, it impacts a lot of people.
Well, thank you, Ira. I love the way that you're defining neurodivergence, because technically a neurodivergent brain is a brain that processes information differently. Certainly the ADHD, the autism, dyslexia. And the sad thing is that's affecting the future of work. I can remember back in 2004, when I started working with ADHD kids and autistic kids, and we really believed that they were going to outgrow it by the time that their brain got fully developed, mid to late 20s, that would be a thing of the past. Well, guess what? They didn't outgrow it. And it's left a lot of people in a state of flux. But I agree with you. I don't think there's a neurotypical brain out there. And I think that if you suffer from anxiety or depression, that changes the way that you process information. And honestly, I've looked at a lot of brains since the 2005, and a depressed brain on a brain map, on a QEEG, can look exactly like an ADHD brain. And what I've learned is, which came first, the chicken or the egg, the emotional dysregulation or the cognitive dysregulation?
So we're facing, I hate to use this word, unprecedented times. I call them the never normal times. So we've got a lot going on. The world is changing, the speed of change, acceleration. We've got AI, and then we have the normal stresses of our world. You know, right now we're going through, our presidential election, which is always stressful. We have, so many things that are happening to us personally. And it almost seems that we all need to approach the future. We all need to approach our day-to-day tasks. We all need to approach what we do differently. So where before it was like, we want 80% of the population to fit into this model, this cookie cutter approach. And that's normal. And that was working for us when the world just was slower, or we had that opportunity and we weren't as connected. Now it almost seems that 20% might be holding the key. How their brains work might be the key to future success.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. You mentioned in your introduction the unique capabilities that a neurodivergent brain has. And I have got the best story. This is how I really got tapped into neurodivergent. So I have different counselors that will refer people here. They're like, they need some neuro work. I'm like, okay. So one gentleman came in and he had done about 10 sessions, and I could see, and he was an autistic, he was on the spectrum, but so much more engaged, so would come in and just make chit chat. And so one day he was leaving and I said, oh, every time he came, he was either coming from work or going to work at different times of the day. I said, oh, are you off to work? And he said, yeah, I am. I said, I don't have any idea what you do. And he got this horrific look on his face. And he said, Miss Lee, I don't think I should tell you that. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, you know that I run this business under the license of a counselor. And unless you tell me you're going to kill yourself or somebody else, legally, I can't share a word. And he's like, I can't talk about that. And I said, wow. I said, okay, now you've got my curiosity up. What the heck do you do? And he said, well, I'm a gambler. And he immediately looked down. He said, but Miss Lee, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal. I said, of course you don't. You've got excellent pattern recognition. And he's like, yeah, I play the slots. And that's what really tipped my brain and made me start to, you better understand. I thought, it's a shame those casinos don't tap into that power and hire him, because he is, but his comments, you know, Miss Lee, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal. And that's because I think of the way he's been treated all of his life, because his brain works differently. My response to that, I was like, of course you don't. How many people in that neurodivergent spiral get that response? Or do they get the stink eye?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, they even ostracized, you know, or they can't do that work. They don't fit into around here. But it's really interesting, as you were talking, is that you brought up engagement. And the one thing I hear from every employer, and I'm teaching undergrad and graduate class, is, boy, it's so hard for students to focus. They're just all over the place. And yet the population that, or what they're looking for, is employers exclude them when they're looking for people who can focus and be engaged. They ignore this neurodivergent population because they don't fit in around here. So we want people that focus, and we want people who are engaged, but not like them. I don't know what I'm missing, but it's something in there. But if we, and let's broaden this beyond the neurodivergence, and talk about, it was a relatively new concept that I was just introduced to over the last year. So I went through, you know, how I got through Wharton was through their executive program, and there was a certificate program on neurodivergence, how it helps get better business results. Fascinating. And then had the opportunity at the summit to meet you, but the focus was on brain capital. So I'm not sure that our listeners are really aware of what brain health and brain capital is, because if you and I surveyed 1,000 senior business leaders and said, you know, we asked them about workforce transformation, change, artificial intelligence, and one of those things on the list was brain health and brain capital, my guess is that it would be at the bottom, or pretty close to the bottom of priorities.
And I second that guess. And that's how the Brain Performance Institute emerged. You know, the Brain Performance Center, I've worked with just individuals, but a lot of those individuals owned businesses. And so they would see a difference in themselves, and they would say, wow, you know, it would be great if I could help my team, or if I could put some initiatives in place. And so that's the Brain Performance Institute emerged from that. But what we don't realize is that, you know, the brain's not fully developed until your mid to late 20s. The 30s are rocking. The 40s, maybe you start to plateau. The 50s, maybe you start to have some cognitive decline. The 60s, maybe you start to have some cognitive impairment. And it goes on from there. But it doesn't have to. If you invest in your brain health, which is your brain capital, at every stage of your life, it's going to improve your physical health. The body keeps score of everything going on in the brain, your productivity, your relationships with your family, with your friends, within your business. It all, everything you do, you don't do, how well you do it, it all starts with what's going on in the brain. How is that brain wiring and firing? Because brains that wire and fire together, they stay together. Have you ever met somebody, Ira, and immediately met you, I was like, ooh, friend, not foe. I felt that, you know, in my brain. But you'll notice I've worked with some teams, and I can watch the way they come in, and they'll seat themselves around a table. And there'll be those that I can tell, okay, they're going to have a hard time speaking up. They don't feel like they want to be heard. And it's because of that, going back to what you said, it's because of that human connection. Human connection is engagement. And engagement isn't just all about being nice.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So let's talk about how is neuroscience help? Because you obviously have a background in counseling and psychology, and you're working with, helping with human organizational behavior. And that was about changing people's behavior within organizations. But then really focusing on the individual. So over the last 20 years, I mean, you learned a lot about this with your son, ADHD, but kind of on a more general approach. I mean, talking about it's not just brain health for a neurodivergent population or for people over 60 or 70 mm-hmm. that have dementia or Alzheimer's or that is how this has become universal. How is the approach change? What could people do to be able to maintain or improve their brain health?
Well, it really starts with there are four things that puts a brain in a dysregulated state. And Ira, the brain's either regulated or it's dysregulated. I don't need to put, we don't need to slap labels on there. It's an anxious brain. It's a depressed brain. It's a dysregulated brain. Genetics play a big role. Physical head trauma, the story of my son. I've been in ICU twice with brain injury. Emotional trauma, and I don't wish it on you, but if you're living life, you're going to experience some emotional trauma and stress. And after COVID-19, we have all met stress in a whole new way. And what people can do about it is stop. Use your self-awareness. I think a lot of times we stick our head in the sand. And I'll tell people the most powerful thing you have are your senses. Situational awareness. I just completed my dissertation, and situational awareness was one of the factors that I used to look at decision making in a crisis situation. And people say, well, what do you mean by situational awareness? Read the room, walk in, who's standing like this? Who's inviting? Who's engaging? And it's just using, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell? What do you feel? All of those, get in touch with how your brain's working. Neuroplasticity is in the last 10 years has really become a buzzword. And the good news about neuroplasticity is we can all work on it. And one of the hardest things I ever did to increase my neuroplasticity was about 2 months ago. I'm like, okay, I got 1 month left on this dissertation. I'm a right-handed. I'm going to start using my left hand to work my mouth. Oh, that was so much harder than I thought it was going to be, because I was having the whole sensory motor strip, that the hand integration, the eye-hand integration, all of that's going on in the brain. And I had to learn new things. And when you learn new things, you're creating neuroplasticity in your brain.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because in the class Innovation and Entrepreneurship that I'm teaching, we talked a little bit about that, not necessarily bringing up the topic of neuroscience, but about changing behaviors. How do you overcome fear? We got undergrads, they're 18 most of them are 18 to 21. We're talking about taking risk. That they, they're investing in a career. And the thing before is, how do we create this certain future? And it was go to college, get a degree, you come out, and you had a lifetime of you had a lifetime job. You got a job in a good company, you climbed the ladder, and that was your success. Or you went to professional school like I had done, and you were set for life. And that's just not the case anymore. So now you have, hey, we're here, and I'm telling them some of them are freshmen and sophomore, first and second year. By the time you graduate, some of what you learned will be wrong. Some of the skills you have may not be as needed as before, which isn't that degree of certainty that they're seeking. So many of them were athletes, and many of them shared the experience, not necessarily associating with what they were doing with why they were there, is that one of them had a bad knee injury, and she played field hockey or lacrosse and also track and field, and she was a runner. And she had to learn how to run differently because she realized that although she got a scholarship for this, she was doing it incorrectly. And she started to get injury after injury physically. We had another one that had an injury to a shoulder and had to rehab it. And in the meantime, learned to reinforce, I can't remember if it was right or left-handed, but whichever it was, the opposite side, and actually became ambidextrous in it must have been baseball, because he became bilateral. He was able to hit both ways, right? So he became more dexterous, ambidextrous in that regard. But we tend to disassociate that. That's like we learned physically how to do that differently, but it was controlled by our brain.
Absolutely. And that's the hard part. It's because the brain has this philosophy, use it or lose it. If you stop using certain neural pathways over time, they will shut down. And because the brain puts off enough energy to light a small light bulb, and it takes every single bit of that to make all of this work. So if you're not using it, the brain's like, boop, I'll send it over here. It can be better used over here. And I think that comes with self-awareness, with becoming aware of what brain health is. It's, you know, one of the most fun interviews I did on radio was when Elmo put out on social media, how's it going? And the response to that was incredible. People all ages opened their heart to Elmo. And basically what Elmo was saying, you know, I thought, well, Elmo's really reinforcing what I say. Check in with yourself. Check in with yourself every day. How's it going today, Lee? What do you need? Oh, I need to go to the gym. Or, you know what? I'm lonely. I need to have lunch with a friend. But check in with yourself. And we do not have the time for that.
We are going to take a short break. But when we come back, I want to kind of gear this back to the workplace. So we've got a lot of employers here. We got both employers and employees. And, you know, one of the biggest struggles that people have is what work's going to look like. Things are changing. Either the environment's for sure changing. The marketplace is changing. Companies are changing. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world. And based on where neuroscience is and what you've learned, be able to offer some tips, some guidance, because it's one thing to say, well, you need to become more self-aware, or you need to walk in the room and become in touch and observe people. But how do we make that real? How does that actually help me? Because if I look around and see all these different people and I can recognize all these different behaviors, so what? How does that relate? So we're going to take a really quick break. We will be back. We want to thank everybody for watching and listening to Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization. We've got Lee Richardson on having a fascinating conversation about brain health and brain capital. And when we come back, we're going to try to wrap this bow on it about how do companies and individuals get an ROI? If they're going to invest and take the time to train this, what's the ROI on it? So we will be right back. Stay tuned.
Are your employees feeling stuck and just showing up for a paycheck? Is your workforce working harder to get back to normal than adapting to the future? It's time to help them break their addiction to certainty and develop a growth mindset. Developed by one of the world's top-rated future of work thought leaders, AQ Plus Mindset is a powerful tool to help your employees embrace change, adapt faster, and grow on the job. Conveniently delivered to any smartphone or laptop in easy-to-digest 5 to 10-minute lessons. Managers can sit back and watch employee attitudes shift towards growth and innovation in just 30 days. Are you ready to help your employees thrive in this ever-changing, never-normal world? Encourage them to show more grit, resilience, adaptability, and unlock their potential? The journey to a growth-filled future starts with a growth mindset. Visit aqplusmindset.com or call 484-373-4300.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Geeks, Geeses, and Googleization. We're talking about the ROI of brain capital with Lee Richardson, who is the founder of Brain Performance Center and Institute. Lee, you're working with organizations and individuals now. What are some of the, can you share a success story? I mean, what does it look like at the end? And then let's work back. Like, how did you get to that point? Because I know people, you know, we can talk all we want about the advances in neuroscience and the advances in our understanding of the brain and self-awareness, but it means nothing if we can't see what the result and the outcome is.
Absolutely. So, you know, what came to mind was an organization that I worked with, started off as a personal client, and he said, you know, the people in my organization, they just cannot communicate. I said, well, of course they can communicate. They just all process information differently. And that got a double take. And so when we started to talk about that and to identify where the differences were in the communication, and a lot of it was there was a lack of psychological safety. When you're communicating, some people are under the premise, I'm going to tell you what you need to know. That's all I'm going to share with you, because to share more requires trust. And a lot of people want the data. Don't talk to me. Give me the numbers. Give me the numbers. So how you express yourself, how you process that information, what's important to you. I mean, the way that you can communicate within an organization, that psychological safety, there's your secret sauce right there. That's going to get your employees to cooperate, to collaborate, and to innovate. So, and how do you get there? One of the easiest ways is to do a brain health SWOT analysis. Go in and look at the strengths of your diverse perspectives. What specialized skills do you have? What's the resilience in your organization? Look at your weaknesses. Communication was a big weakness in this organization. Look at sensory sensitivities. You know, some people, it cannot sit under fluorescent lights. It's just too much. It overstimulates them. Look at your social interaction. Look at your opportunities. How do you include more people? And look at your threats. And those threats usually come from misunderstanding and bias and team conflict. But we all have bias. We don't want to think we do, but we do.
Lee, it's so interesting because when we go back to, you talk about trust and you talk about engagement, you were talking about communication. You know, LinkedIn just came out and looked at the most in-demand skills. And we talked about this last week on the show. Most in-demand skill today, in addition to adaptability, but the most in-demand skill is communication. I've been in the workforce for four or more decades. It hasn't changed. We talked about communication way back then as a need. So we haven't gotten, obviously, it's still a demand and we haven't gotten any better at it. Team building is about human connection. We talk about team building, but really ignored the connection. It was all based on, hey, if we're getting results, it must be working. And then we talked about engagement, but it was disconnected from that team building. So everybody still wants the same thing, but now we have new modalities. We have new information. We have data, not just hunches from managers. Oh, hey, I tried this and this worked. Now there's really data how this works. I don't know if you're familiar with Paul Zak. Paul is a neuroscientist. And he's been on the show, but he's got a company called Immersion. And the ability to measure how immersed, not just engaged, not just attentive, but how immersed our bodies are, how connected we are. And I still remember the first time we talked, he held up his watch, and it was its nap. And he held up his watch and he pointed to it, and it was like 80 something. And I said, okay, is that good or bad? No, we're in sync, we're in connected, we have flow, we're going together. So there are ways to be able to measure everything that we used to just throw out as words and terms. And as you're describing what companies need to do, that connect, you know, build connection, improved communication is now just, let's not go through the exercise of, oh, we had a seminar on communication. We had a seminar on team building. Now, the ROI of that is we can really, really measure how connected people were. Are they communicating better? Not just that it sounded better or that people said, yeah, I think it's better. Oh, good. Okay. So it was an effective seminar.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to me because it all starts with communication. Everything we do and that neurodivergent, if we want to be technical, that workforce that's neurodivergent, they communicate differently. Maybe they don't look you in the eye, and it's not a sign of disrespect. It's just, it's a different social interaction. And maybe they will sit in their office in the dark because that's where they're comfortable. But I can't tell you how many clients who said, you know, I hate going into work. Everybody knows I have a problem with anxiety. And so I can see when I walk in the door, they're checking me out. Am I okay today or am I not okay?
Can we talk today or am I going to get my head bit off? Right?
Yeah, and you got it.
Yeah, it's so challenging. So it's really interesting because, you know, we certainly focused on the future of work. And we talk about remote work and hybrid work and people coming in the office. And yet there's this, you know, there's CEOs that want everybody back because it's certainly more comfortable or they have real estate to sell, whatever reason that they have. And yet the COVID pandemic, this isolation and this going home, I mean, there's the downside to it of isolated and loneliness and people who do need that connection. So there's some people who do need to be in the same room with other people. But there are people that became much more productive during that time. And yet it's still going back to this blanket universal, let's bring people back to the office and put them under the fluorescent lights in open cubicles. And they just have to get over their anxiety.
Well, and you know, as well as I do, that is not going to go smoothly. And
it's definitely not.
But it's more than just not going smoothly with the internal workforce. What about, I mean, the companies that are really have the competitive edge, they're the ones that are socially responsible. And they're the ones that pay attention to what their employees need. And, you know, they see something bigger than just ourselves. And when you look at the ones, if you look at the positive brand appeal, I mean, and names come to mind immediately, Nike, just do it. They create that socially conscious interaction between their customers. And business owners, they'll talk about that. They certainly want to entice the customer and spend your money here. Well, we need to be doing the same thing. The most important asset that we have as a business owner, the most important asset I have is my team.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked for years about them. Our most important asset is our people, but organizations and leadership didn't necessarily act that way. It became a slogan rather than making it happen. And finally, people, and I think there's a danger in that now too, because we're so focused on AI and technology and robotics and automation. That there's this assumption that we're not going to need people. And we know that's not going to be the case. We're going to need people in different ways. And we're going to need people who have great imaginations. And we're going to have people who can digest obscure, abstract, contradictory information and somehow make sense of it. So back to our neurodivergent population. That's the group we can learn from them from doing it. And now it's not just, we don't know what makes them work. We do know what to a strong degree. We do know what makes their brains tick.
Absolutely, we know. And I think that, you know, there's been a real shift. An APA 2023 trend showed that the responsibility used to be on employees. If you have a mental health issue, figure it out. Get your stuff together. And that shift has shifted to the organization. And there was a survey I saw that said, is it the employer's responsibility to prevent work-related mental health problems from developing among employees? 81% of the leaders said, just like you did, yes. And there's a call to action. There's 12 billion days that are lost each year from work and school just due to anxiety and depression. And that equates to about $1 trillion. That's a lot of money. And the future doesn't get any brighter. The World Health Organization predicts by 2030 that brain-related disease and anxiety, depression, those are brain-related disease, that will be the largest disability in the world. And the WHO's saying to the corporations, hey, it's time to step up. Somebody has got to step up and protect and promote their workers' mental health and well-being.
Yeah, and a tip to CEOs and senior leaders and who say, but we have an EAP. EAP is treating the symptoms. And I'm certainly not bashing the value of an EAP, but EAPs were designed as it falls under this the medical expense category, and it's measured by medical expense. And yet you have it, you're investing in it, but only 97% of on average of people within an organization that have an EAP that don't use it.
And that's because where is the EAP? Does anybody know how to access it? Does anybody?
Still a stigma.
And the stigma associated with it. And that's why I shifted. In 2005, my focus was on mental health. Too much negative around that. So, and that's when I wrote my book, Turn Your Brain On to Get Your Game On, to help people to understand it's okay to not be okay. And that, so I thought, well, if I just quit calling it mental health and I call it brain health, that'll reduce the stigma. Well, it did for me and you. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Unfortunately, we're coming up toward the end here. And there's a couple of things that I like to do as a wrap up. And one final question to you is, was there a question I should have asked you that I didn't?
You know, I approach brain health as a conversation. And one of the things I've learned a long time ago is not to set expectations. So I think that we talked about, so we made some really important points. And I think that I hope we increase the level of understanding in corporations about neurodiversity. If I can check that box, I'm quite happy.
Excellent. Thanks. So here's one of the most fun parts of the show. We call it the lightning round, and I ask two or three questions just to get to know Lee, to share some things. So if you were a car, okay, if you came back as a car, what type of car would you be and why?
Well, I just got a Porsche and I absolutely love it. And why is because of the performance. You know, I'll be the brand person here, but a Porsche is all about performance. And that's what, you know, human performance, brand capital, it's all about performance.
If there's one song or one band that comes to mind, that your go-to song or band, who is it?
Well, I grew up with the Beatles, and I still, when I find myself in a reflective, you know, mode, I'll go to the Beatles.
Good. And it might, I'm sure somebody mentioned someone from the Beatles in the past, but that's great. Final question. What's something people often get wrong about you?
I think that they get wrong about my motivation. Do I absolutely want to create social change? And that's really what drives me. That's what drove the PhD program. That's what has driven some the WBENC certification is, yeah, I do want to help people, but I want to create social change around that on a bigger level, because it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah. What a great message to end on, for sure. Lee, how can people get in touch with you, learn more about your institute and the center and your book?
Just go to that. We're on social media. I'm on LinkedIn, Lee Richardson, and we're on Facebook and Instagram. We have that good old-fashioned Brain Performance Center website, and I've just put live a Brain Performance Institute. So we're there. We're on social media. Love to hear from you. The first step with doing business with the Brain Performance Center is a complimentary consultation. So call the office, 214-329-9017. Set that up.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Lee. It's great to have a conversation again. Really fortuitous that we connected back in November. Hopefully that journey continues and continue to learn a lot more about you. Congratulations on your dissertation. And hopefully that goes well. We'll stay in touch. And I know you got your another visit to Philadelphia coming up, and hopefully that's as rewarding as you want it to be.
Thank you so much for having me, Ira. I look forward to next time.
Absolutely. I want to thank all our listeners today from Googleization Nation. Thanks for being part of it. If you haven't joined us, please do so. It's free to join. Just go to googleizationnation.com. I want to extend a special thanks to my guest, Lee Richardson, and all our listeners for tuning in. Thank you to Avanti for sponsoring our show. And don't forget to check out the upcoming Avanti Solutions Summit coming up just in a few weeks, April 9th to 12th. You can learn more about the summit by visiting our website at Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization, or avanti.com. And if you haven't subscribed to Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization on your favorite podcast platform or YouTube, please do so and leave us a review or a comment. And until next time, don't let the shift hit your plans.
Thanks for watching Geeks, Geezers, and Googleization. Be sure to listen to the podcast and follow us on YouTube. This show was produced and edited by Hilton Productions.